Rent premiered off-Broadway at the New York Theater Workshop on February 13th, 1996. It was a triumph in the face of a tragedy, which is also, in many ways, what the show is all about. The brainchild of Jonathan Larson, it came to life weeks after his sudden and seemingly avoidable death on January 25th at the age of 35. It was the day after the final dress rehearsal. It was the day after he gave his final interview to the New York Times, in which Larson was quoted as saying, "It's not how many years you live, but how you fulfill the time you spend here." That's sort of the point of the show. No day but today. 7 years earlier, Larson began his collaboration with playwright Bill Aronson on a musical based on the 1896 opera La Boheme by Giacomo Puccini. Anyone catch that coincidence? During the interview, Larson told the Times that he had only recently learned that the scheduled opening of Rent, which he did not live to see, coincided with the 100th anniversary of the first performance of La Boheme. "It's the weirdest thing," he said. "People try all the time to do stuff like this on purpose, but this was an amazing coincidence." La Boheme itself was itself based on Henry Murger's novel, Scenes de la Vie de Boheme. The opera follows a love story between a poet named Rodolfo and Mimi, a seamstress, as they face the challenges of Mimi's declining health and ultimate death from tuberculosis, and of the realities of living in Paris in the Latin Quarter during the 1830s. Both shows document that the life document the life of a group of artists struggling with poverty and disease, TB in La Boheme and HIV/AIDS in Rent. Still, the characters are able to find happiness and purpose through love, friendship, and the act of creation. Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Rent, or it's been too long and you need a refresher, I'm going to give you a synopsis. But let me also share that there is no way I can adequately convey the full scope and impact of this show and everything that it's about in the next 17 minutes. My hope is simply to inspire you to watch it, or watch it again. The reason I can't possibly convey everything Rent has to offer us is because, as my cousin Judy says, and I quote, "Rent is about 8 million things." So when I asked her to name just a few, she rattled off more quickly than I'm about to. Living in the moment. Friendship. Fear. Poverty. Kindness, cruelty, betrayal, shame, relationships, love. Rent opens on Christmas Eve in Manhattan's East Village, in a loft shared by roommates Mark, a filmmaker, and Roger, a musician. They are freezing because their landlord, Benny, a former friend who has reneged on his promise to let them live rent-free, has shut down their power after demanding they pay last year's rent. Many consider Mark's character to be largely based on Larson himself, and the play is often described as semi-autobiographical. Anthony Rapp, the actor who portrayed Mark in both the premiere and when the show quickly moved to Broadway later that year, said this about Rent's first performance. There was an incredible mixture of life matching art, matching life. The distance between what we were experiencing ourselves and as characters was paper thin. We're quickly introduced to two other central characters, Tom Collins, a gay professor, and Angel, a cross-dressing street performer, both of whom, they and we learn are HIV positive. We soon meet Mimi, a neighbor in Mark and Roger's building, an exotic dancer and heroin addict who is also positive. Collins and Angel fall instantly in love. It takes Roger and Mimi a bit longer, and understandably so, because Roger has contracted HIV from his last girlfriend, who died by slitting her wrists after her diagnosis. So he's quite depressed. That was him on Once on Glory. Mark is called to the aid of his ex-girlfriend, Maureen, by Maureen's current girlfriend, Joanne, to fix the sound equipment for a protest slash performance that Maureen is staging against Benny, who is also trying to evict the homeless from a lot near the loft because he wants to build a cyber art studio. Mark bonds with Joanne over their shared distrust of Maureen. He fixes the equipment, the protest takes place, and is followed by a very lively after party celebration to which Benny, the landlord, shows up. Then Mark and Roger discover they've been padlocked out of their building and a riot ensues. All that and much more takes place before the intermission. You with me so far? The second act begins with the cast performing Seasons of Love, which, rest assured, we will get to as soon as I'm done here. We learn that Mimi, Benny's former girlfriend, it turns out, has convinced him to drop the rent demand. Roger and Mimi move in together. Maureen and Joanne break up. And Angel, who else could it be, dies. Collins is not only heartbroken, but too broke to pay for the funeral. Benny, in his slow but steady transformation, pays for that, as well as Mimi's rehab. Yet it's almost too late. Mimi and Roger have broken up. She is soon homeless and near death when the vision of white light, an angel's voice, tells her to go back and stay with Roger. Again, so much more takes place in song and action before the finale. 42 songs, to be exact. Although I've also seen 35 songs listed, so I suppose it depends on the version. But Google tells me that while there's no set answer, a typical Broadway-style musical usually has between 15 and 20 songs. Rent is unusual in many other ways as well. Rent was the first Broadway musical to do a lottery, where people line up outside the theater day of to secure super cheap tickets, something that happens digitally now. Rent was groundbreaking in its portrayal of LGBTQ plus characters and the impact of the HIV/AIDS crisis, with a diverse cast that explores issues of race, sexuality, socioeconomic status, and so much more. As some of you know, our very own Owen Cook played Roger in the Stagecoach Theater production of Rent, the school edition, earlier this year. It was a phenomenal performance that Sandy and I were lucky enough to see. When we spoke to Owen more recently about his experience, he shared something else that was different about Rent, different from the 15 or 16 other plays in which he has performed. He said it was the best experience of a show he has ever had. He said it was special because each character had to really and truly get to know and understand the other characters. You had to be genuinely close, good friends, in order to portray that tight-knit community. Again, art imitating life. Some say that in part because of the death of its creator on the eve of its birth, Rent was also a phenomenal commercial success. In the decades since its premiere, it has continued to tour the world with performances in Lisbon, Portugal, as recently as this past spring. It currently sits 12th on the list of longest running Broadway productions and has earned 4 Tony Awards, including Best Musical, 6 Drama Desk Awards, including Outstanding Musical, and the Pulitzer Prize for Drama. So how does Rent manifest our new UU values? Let's start with justice. The show portrayed HIV/AIDS at a time when our very own government had not yet acknowledged its existence. The marginalized were showcased. LGBTQ, low-income, food and shelter insecure folks were celebrated for their humanity. And many of these folks were able to see the show and see themselves being seen in it because of the lottery. Transformation. Who wasn't transformed? Let's start with Roger, who went from depression, desperation, one song, Glory, to empowerment. Having occupied the role so exquisitely, I asked Owen about Roger's arc, and here's what he had to say. It was the progress he made in finding his outlook on the time he had left. A lot of defeat comes with that diagnosis, the finality of life. A lot of uncertainty about how much time is left. But what Mimi brings to Roger is the understanding that even though there is finality, there always has been. And you can use the time you have left to fill it with people and things you love. Don't let the impending doom take over the rest of the time you have left. Allow yourself to live a life of purpose beyond battling the diagnosis. End quote. In other words, as the dandelion said to her seed, don't be afraid. The wind and the sun and the rain will take care of you. Let go and you will see. Of course, the play itself transformed the lives of everyone involved. The opening cast were largely unknown, but soon they found themselves in the New York Times, Newsweek, Vanity Fair, on the cover of Rolling Stone and Harper's Bazaar. They appeared on The Late Show with David Letterman, remember him, and The Charlie Rose Show and The Tonight Show. Pluralism. This one was a tricky one for me, so I'm just gonna give you a little. It's our celebration of all things, all sacred beings, diverse in culture, experience, and theology. The characters in Rent are nothing if not diverse in gender, orientation, race, income, attitude, aptitude, and yet they form a cohesive unit, a close-knit community, as Owen puts it. Generosity. Early on, Angel shares that for a reward, she killed Benny's wife's dog, Anakita, named Evita. She happily shares that money with her new friends, which makes Benny's later generosity in paying for her funeral all the more kind. Food and shelter are shared, as is cash from the ATM machine that Collins reprogrammed to dispense money to anyone with the code Angel. And while a few of these examples involve criminal acts which we are not condoning, they are poignant moments that show the depth of desperation and creativity in these characters. Interdependence. Whew. One could make a cogent argument that Rent is all about interdependence in housing, in music, in friendship, in sorrow, and grief, as well as in celebration and defiance. The cast, we learned from Owen, must truly depend on knowing one another. Equity. The characters do not start from the same place. Some are homeless, living in a tent city, and others fight for their rights. And of course, love. In many ways, Rent is a love story. Gay and straight, lost and found, fierce and forgiving. Roger's redemption comes from loving Mimi, as does Benny's. Rivals overcome jealousy and dance the Tango Maureen, while lovers risk loss, but love anyway. As I'm sure you know, rent is not only money you pay a landlord for housing. The word also means torn. And that was Larson's favorite meaning of the title, because the characters are torn between conflicting desires, between comfort and idealism, between love and dignity, between anger and pain, between the fear of intimacy and the fear of getting hurt. I had the honor and privilege of seeing Rent on Broadway in the 90s. It was one of my first Broadway shows. It was in those early days of HIV denial, and it was a powerful reminder that theater has always played a pivotal role in moving societies forward. Theater was a big part of my teenage and young adult years. I was a thespian long before I was a lesbian. I've since watched the movie, of course, there's a movie, at least twice. And as recently as this past week, I watched a final filmed production of the play. If you've yet to see it, we recommend the play, which is, ironically, also about the making of Mark's film. An interesting back and forth between the mediums, as Owen reflected. And as I told him, after seeing his Stagecoach production, his was my favorite version. It was a triumphant display of talent and athleticism among a cast who so clearly knew and understood one another. However, the same was true of the original cast. Before rehearsal started, Larson invited the cast over to his loft for a potluck peasant's feast. Much has been written about that night, during which cast members recall Larson's toast. "You are bringing to life my friends, some of whom are friends that I've lost. And so I wanted to open my home to you." Larson's early and tragic death on the cusp of Rent's phenomenal success has been the subject of many articles. Not only was it hours after the final dress rehearsal, it was early in the morning of the first scheduled preview. The production manager called the artistic director with the news. They then gathered the cast. They then called the cast, who gathered in collective shock and uncertainty. Here's how Rapp, the actor who played Mark, the cishet HIV negative filmmaker, largely thought to represent Larson, described the scene that day. Sometimes we would talk to each other, but sometimes we would just sit in silence and shock, and like there was nothing to say, and then we would cry. After a while, a decision was made. The show must go on. The preview was made open only to friends and family. Larson's parents and sisters were coming to New York. They decided to do it as a sit-down reading, no costumes, water on the table, script in hand, and mics. But as it happened, by the second act, the cast found they could simply not just sit. By the time they got to La Vie Boheme, Eli's favorite song from the show, they were up and dancing on the table. It's a hard song to sit still for. It's also just a hard song, so we're not gonna try it today. At the end of that preview performance, the crowd erupted. And after that, they sat in total silence for a very, very, very long time. As Rapper calls, when you have a couple hundred people sitting together, that is a profound silence. Then, finally, a voice from the back of the theater that said, "Thank you, Jonathan Larson." And that broke the spell. So yes, thank you, Jonathan Larson, for a show about 8 million different things, for a show about justice, transformation, pluralism, generosity, interdependence, equity, for a show about, above all else, love. May it continue to teach each new generation that sees it and each new generation that performs it about the power of finding joy, living life to the fullest, even in the face of death. About the power of treasuring life as the precious gift that it is, and the importance of making the most of every day. No day but today. May it be so, and blessed be.